Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 16, King Chitraketu meets the Lord, text number 10. Nahi asyati yasti priya kaschin, na priya swaparopiva, ikasavam dhiyam dhastra, Pratinam gunadoshayo.
Pratinam gunadoshayo.
Indeed.
Asya.
To the living entity.
To the living entity.
Asti. There is. Priyaha.
Priyaha.
Dear.
Kaschit.
Someone.
Not.
Abriyaha.
Abriyaha.
Not dear.
Not dear.
Swaha.
Swaha.
Om.
Om.
Paraha.
Paraha.
Other. Api.
Api.
Also.
Also.
Va.
Va.
Or.
Or.
Ekaha.
Ekaha.
The one.
The one.
Savadhyam.
Savadhyam.
Of the varieties of intelligence.
Of the varieties of intelligence.
Drasta.
Drasta.
The seer.
The seer.
Katram.
Katram.
Of the performance.
Of the performance.
Svanandoshayo.
Svanandoshayo.
Of right and wrong activities.
Of right and wrong activities.
Translation and prayer by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he is not affected by friends and enemies, well-wishers or mischief mongers. He is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. Purport. As explained in the previous verse, the living entity has the same qualities as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he has them in minute quantities because he is a small particle, sukshma, whereas the Supreme Lord is all-pervading and great. For the Supreme Lord, there are no friends, enemies, or relatives, for he is completely free from all the disqualifications of ignorance that categorize the conditioned souls. On the other hand, he is extremely kind and favorable to his devotees, and he is not at all satisfied with persons who are envious of his devotees. As the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita 9.29, Somahamsa Bhuteshu Namidistosina Priya Yevajanti Tumam Bhaktya Maitateshu Chapiyaham. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. The Supreme Lord has no enemy or friend, but he is inclined toward a devotee who always engaged in his devotional service. Similarly, elsewhere in the Gita 16:19, the Lord says, Tannaham disata kuran samsareshu naradamam shabati anjasham mashuvam ashiye vayonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. The Lord is extremely antagonistic toward those who are envious of his devotees. To protect his devotees, the Lord sometimes has to kill their enemies. For example, to protect Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord had to kill his enemy Hiranyakashipu, although Hiranyakashipu attained salvation because of being killed by the Lord. Since the Lord is the witness of everyone's activities, he witnesses the actions of the enemies of his devotees, and he is inclined to punish them. In other cases, however, he simply witnesses what the living entities do and gives the results of one's simple or pious actions. The verse again. For this living entity, no one is dear, nor is anyone unfavorable. He makes no distinction between that which is of his own and that which belongs to anyone else. He is one without a second. In other words, he is not affected by friends and enemies, Well wishes of mischief mongers, he is only an observer, a witness of the different qualities of men. We have nothing to do with this material body. Nothing about it has anything to do with us. So anything that happens to the body doesn't happen to us, the spirit soul. Dios vinita dehe kumanom yamanom jira tatata hantara prakti yidas tatta muayati. Even death, which happens to the body, is not bewildering for someone who identifies with the soul. For example, in the Bhagavatam, chapters after this, the demigods were defeated by the demons due to an offense to their guru, their priest, Brihaspati. So, by that offense, they lost all power and blessings, and Bali Maharaj was, and the demons were able to defeat the demigods. The demigods were wondering what to do. They had no priests to do oblations for them. So then Lord Brahma says, you approach Vishwarupa, who is younger than you, is actually like your nephew, and he is like half demon, half demigod. I think his mother is a demon, or father, I'm not sure which side. But he has an inclination of the demons. So, what's happened that Vishwarupa, being very learned in the Vedas, agreed to be the priest, but at the same time he was doing oblations for the demons, just out of that family attachment. Indra found out about it and chopped his three heads off. Apparently one of his heads turned into a partridge, a bird, and different things like that. So after killing such a killing a Brahmana, Indra suffered so much sinful reactions and shared some of the reactions with the earth, with water, with women, and one more, I don't know. Four types of personalities. So then the Twasta, the father of Vishnu, was very upset. Someone killed my son. You killed my son! So I will pay back. So then he did a big fire yagya. Unfortunately, he chanted the mantra, the accent or the pronunciation wasn't correct. So instead of having creating someone who would be an enemy of Indra, someone he created that Indra would kill this person. That was the just for one syllable wrong. And then from this fire, a great, big, enormous demon arrived with red copper beard and eyes like fire, and his tongue was moving around like a dueling sword. He touched the sky and everything became black and grey. It looked like he could swallow the whole universe. He was so scary. And he took on the demigods and no one knew how to defeat him. So they went to Lord Vishnu. What do we do? Well, you have to approach Dadichi, the sage Dadichi. And from his bones, you have to make a weapon. And then that weapon will kill the Vichasura. So then they approach Dadichi, and they were very tactful. And they're like, oh, great sage. Oh, great demigods. I'm so fortunate for you to come to my ashram. What can I do for you? Well, we've heard that the great souls are very charitable. You know, and they're like, oh, and we've come in charity. Oh, of course, you want my guest? I will give anything. Demigods, yeah, alright. So, my dear Dadichi, we've asked for we would like your bones. So imagine someone comes and asks for your bones. Yeah, I'll give you my bones and give you my bony fist and your bony nose. But Dadichi, he wasn't on the bodily concept. He didn't care that for the greater good, he was ready to sacrifice his own life. And that is the highest worship of the Supreme Person of God, one who sacrificed his life for the benefit of others. It's the highest worship of the Supreme Lord. Srila Prabhupada, a great example, Lord Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, Vasudev Datta, so many personalities who are in love with the Supreme Personality, Godhead, for the benefit of others, they're paradukaduki. They feel the suffering of others' suffering. Whereas the envious materialist who's identifying with the body feels great happiness when other people suffer. But Dadichi, he says, no problem to the demigods. I will give you my bones, just wait for me to leave the body. So he, through his yogic power, he left the body and the bones were available. And they built that weapon, thunderbolt weapon, and Indra had a big philosophical discourse and a battle with Vichasura. Cut his head off. It took a year to just cut his head off. It was so strong with the thunderbolt weapon. But the sacrifice that Dichi made to restore order in the universe, he didn't feel like anyone wants his, these demigods are trying to get something out of him. He didn't feel like he was cheated. He felt like, I am having an opportunity to serve the Lord. How to be on that level is an amazing thing. Even within this movement, we feel like we're getting cheated or exploited. So many times you hear of past devotees. I've given my whole life, my youth, to this movement. And what do they give back to me? You got, you know, they don't see the transcendental nature of what they got an opportunity to develop their relationship with Krishna. The soul is actually in a loving servant of Krishna. We have forgotten that relationship. That's why we suffer. Many people would ask you if you're practicing for some time, and then new devotees go, when was the best, like when did you feel like you were very Krishna conscious? Or when were you the most Krishna conscious? So actually the most Krishna conscious moment is that, is now. Because it's a relationship. You've shown your commitment for so many years to develop your relationship with Krishna. It's not like a job, it's not like a sport. Okay, when I was fit at this age and I was scoring so many points or kicking so many goals, then that's when I was really good at being a player. But Krishna consciousness is not like that. Krishna consciousness is an eternal, developing an eternal relationship with our Supreme Lord. There's not like you come back down. Nirvikramanastasti pratavanavichite sunapasya dhammasya chaite mahatubhaya. There's no loss or diminution in this path of devotion service. You don't lose nothing. You just only gain. And it doesn't cost anything, which is pretty good. And everyone can feel that relationship building with Krishna more and more every time Krishna saved us from Maya. We were going for Maya. We're going to choose it. We're going to go for it. And then Krishna saves you. I remember one time. I was in Johannesburg and I had to catch a flight. No, I was in Durban, South Africa. And I had to catch a flight to New York from Johannesburg. So it's like two different... I mean, one city, I had to get to another city to catch a flight. So then I was thinking of... So I had to catch an overnight bus from Durban to Johannesburg. So this overnight bus is taking place and everything's working okay. Then at midnight, the bus just stops in the middle of nowhere for 9 hours. And I'm telling like the bus driver, I gotta get to Johannesburg, I have a flight to catch. And, do something. And he goes, don't worry, some truck crashed on the road, so now it's all backed up. So they're waiting for it to like... And I'm like, oh no, I'm gonna miss my flight. Oh no, so much money and all these things. But I have to get to New York somehow. So I'm just stressing. And somehow we make it to Johannesburg and I still have time to make the flight. It's just a few hours in it. So to get to the airport, I have to pick up my luggage in the Pitoria Temple, then take the train to the airport. And then I make it there, and then the devotees, they're like, oh, you're here, oh, and they're trying to talk to you and be nice to you, and you're thinking about this flight, and oh, I gotta get this flight. He goes, oh, Harinam Ananda, let's do Harinam. Like, no, I have to catch this flight. Okay, we'll do Harinam to the train station. It took too long. Anyway, there's still time. So I caught that train, and I was thinking, yeah, I'll make it in time for check-in, it's fine. Take the train, I run to the check-in, to the desk, you know, where they put your bags in. So I run there. And then he starts like, oh, where's your passport? Yeah, yeah. And then he starts doing things. And then he says, I'm sorry, my brother. You are too late. I go, what do you mean? No, you are too late. I go, no, I'm in time. I'm only 2 hours before. He goes, no, I'm sorry. There's a long security check-in for America. You cannot come. I go, no, I have to catch this flight, my service to God, I have to do this, you know. And he goes, no, I'm sorry, I cannot check in, sorry, man. If you want to, you have to speak to the airline office. I'm like, okay, I'll go to the office. And I run to the office, I go, just check me in, I'll run through security, don't worry, I'm fast, you know. My service to God, because in Africa they believe in God and they like priests. And, you know, I'm a priest, I have service to God, please help me, you know. And he goes, no, don't, I cannot put you on the flight, but I can do something else. I go, no, this is my service. I have to do it. And he did something, and I'll explain later on what he did. And I was just like, oh, I missed the flight. Just missed it, the check-in, I missed it. And I was like freaking out. I was like, oh man. And I just turned into a demon like that. I was just like, Krishna, this is what you do to me. I do so much for you. You know, I do all this Harinam, I read this book, I gave up so much. And this is how you repay me. That's it. I'm gonna drink beer, I'm gonna eat meat, I'm gonna chase girls. I'm done. It's over. And then I can't get the train back to the temple. It was the last train. So I'm just, what do? I just wander around the airport, dragging my bag. And then all of a sudden, all these like Bhagavad Gita verses just go into my consciousness. Like, oh, wait a minute. I just turned to a demon just then. I was ready to just go dive deep into Maya right on the spot. And then some guy at the airport goes, excuse me, are you a priest? I go, yeah, can I ask you a question? And I'm like, oh no, Krishna, now you want me to preach now, huh? After all this. Yeah, alright. And then I was preaching and I had Maha from the temple, I gave him Maha, I had some books, he got some books. And then I'm like, okay. I come back to, I somehow get a taxi back to the temple and it's the next day. And the guy at the airline office, he goes, okay, I can't put you on the next flight for the next day or nothing. You have to go back to the agent where you booked it with. I go, okay. So he like canceled it, but there's no date on it, so it's kind of open. And then I'm like, whew, okay, Krishna, you're really purifying me now. So I just wake up early, chant some nice rounds, and, you know, just do the morning program, hear a class, go to the agent. I go to the agent. And she goes, hey, how are you? I go, kind of missed my flight. I'm an idiot. I missed that flight there. She goes, oh, really? And she goes, like, can I still get on? She goes, no, there's no refund for a no-show. Like, if you don't come, then you can't get any money back or nothing. You can't. I'm like, no, man. I was there. He gave me this piece of paper. I'm there. She goes, oh, let's have a look. Anyway, calm down. Let's have a look. And then what the guy did, he didn't have to do it. He just made it look like an open ticket. Which means that there's no date on it. And it's like that I didn't put a date on it. So then all she had to do is just put a date on it. So the guy saved me. And then I was able to stick around longer.
for a Kirtan festival, Kirama Kamaraj, and then go to New York. And it was really far out. I was like, oh my God, Krishna was just purifying me on the spot, got rid of so much out of me. And this amazing verse in the 10th canto, Tate na kampa shushi mikshamana punje atma kritam vipakam hipa bapubhivadanta namaste jivetu yo mukti padesa daya bak. Oh my Lord, your devotee who is patiently waiting for your mercy, suffering the miseries of his past bad deeds, he still worships you with his heart, words and mind. In that way, he become the kingdom of God becomes his rightful claim. So, just like a son of a rich man, all he has to do is stay alive and he gets the money. So, same thing for us. All we have to do is somehow do some devotional service, whatever our situation is. And then at the end of life, the kingdom of God is our rightful claim. So amazing this verse. So amazing is Krishna, that he can provide. No one is rejected from the kingdom of God. Nobody. But it's up to the living entity to accept it or not. Shri Panchatattva ki. The Panchatattva making it easier than ever before. It says here that the Lord is equal to all. So he's equally giving the mercy, just like the sun ray, the sunshine is equally available for all, but you have to stand out in the sun. If you're in your dark room, sitting on your computer, then you cannot benefit the sunshine. Similarly, the mercy of Krishna, of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is available for all, especially in this Kali Yuga. And Lord Chaitanya being more merciful than Krishna, Krishna says, the one who renders service unto me in devotion is a friend. And I'm a friend to him, and I take special care of him. But Lord Chaitanya is different. He don't care. He cannot discriminate. And Lord Nityananda is more merciful. It doesn't matter who you are. Either you want Krishna prema or not, he's going to give you. Just like Jagannath Madhai. Lord Chaitanya is ready to kill Jagai, and Lord Nityananda stops. He goes, if you kill Jagai and Madai, then you must kill everybody. Because everyone is Jagai and Madai. Everyone is speculating, gambling. Everyone is eating meat. Everyone is intoxicating. Everyone is engaged in illicit sex. And if they practice religion, it's only just for the sense gratification. So if you're going to kill them, then you have to kill everyone. So just deliver them. And Mada, he tried to help me. Jagai tried to help me. Why didn't you deliver him? Okay, I'll deliver him. But the thing is that the Lord can tolerate offense to himself, but he cannot tolerate an offense to his devotee. Just like in that pastime when Bhriga Muni and the sages, who is the supreme? Shiva, Brahma, or Vishnu? I don't know. I'll go and check. So Bhriga goes up to Lord Brahma. And Lord, it's his father. Bhriga's the son of Brahma. So you see your father, you be respectful. But he came up there, he didn't pay obeisance, he didn't say anything. He was just kind of ignoring him. He was like, yeah, casual. Hey, what's up, pups? And then being in the guna avatar of the mode of passion, and Lord Brahma was angry. He's like, who is this? My son is not respecting me. But then he controls himself. Oh, okay, no, I won't get overcome. So he offended him in the mind. Then he goes to see his brother, Lord Shiva. And he goes, oh, Lord Shiva, sees him. Oh, my brother, please come. He comes to embrace him. Hey, stay away, don't embrace me. You're disgusting, you hang out in crematoriums and look at you, you're covered in snakes. Don't touch me. And the Lord Shiva was angry. Huh? Who do you think you are? You know, he was ready to kill him. His eyes became red. And he was so angry. He was going to kill him on the spot. Then Parvati came. He's like, no, don't kill him. He's a sage. And, you know, he's just calm down, my lord. Just calm down. And then, okay, I'm going to calm down. Then Bhrigu went to Lord Vishnu, to Svetadvipa. And he's lying on Anantasesh. And the goddess of fortune is massaging his feet. So he goes there and then kicks him on the chest. And what does Lord Vishnu do? Oh, my dear Brahman, I didn't know you were here. Sorry, I didn't receive you properly. And how's your foot? You know, my chest is hard as thunderbolts. You know, did I hurt your foot? You know, I can massage them, you know, worship them. Actually, Brahmanas are the most worshipable object. You know. I am so dear. They're so dear to me. Just like in the third canto, when the four Kumaras got offended by Jai and Vijay. So then Lord Narayan comes, and he feels, okay, the offense of my servants is actually my fault. To make up for this offense, I'll chop off my own arm. Because of the offense of the Brahmanas. So this event, this is too much for the Lord. And this is the mad elephant offense of offending devotees. So how to remedy such an offense? One must fall down at the feet of the devotee. And then the devotees, they don't hold a grudge. That's what I like about devotees. There's one really nice thing. Because I don't know, I remember before devotional service, just like say for $5 or something, you know, you have a big fight with a friend for $5 and you never speak to him again. For years. 20, 30 years, you don't speak to him anymore. You know? But devotee, you could like really offend him. And then if you just fall down, then he's like so merciful and he forgives you. And you know, you can feel it, it's all like gone. It's amazing. Devotional service, the system of Vaishnava etiquette, it's kind of the baseline behavior of the spiritual world, is Vaishnava etiquette. So the Lord cannot tolerate such offense to his devotees. But if one serves the devotees, and tries to please the devotee, especially the pure devotee, then Krishna is very pleased. Just like the illiterate Brahmana in South India. This illiterate Brahmana, he was instructed by his spiritual master that you read all chapters of Bhagavad Gita every day. So in those days, Brahmanas had like the palm leaf and some of them had illustrations as well. And it was all handwritten. And he was trying to read, making sounds, putting it upside down, this and that. And all the other Brahmins are laughing. Ah, look at him. He's trying to read. He can't even read. He's illiterate. What's he trying to do? But he did it anyway. My spiritual master told me so too. Lord Chaitanya came through. And then he saw this Brahmin and he said, hey Brahmana, I see you reading Bhagavad Gita. Aren't you illiterate? He goes, yeah, I'm illiterate. But my spiritual master told me, so what can I do? I have to read. I see that, but I see you're crying. Why are you crying? Oh, I cry. I see this picture of Krishna being the chariot driver for Arjuna. So when I see the Supreme Lord become the servant of his devotee, then I cry. Then Lord Chaitanya said, you know the real import of Bhagavad Gita. And then he embraced him. We are constantly embraced by the illusory forms of Maya and suffering again and again. But if we please the pure devotee, then we will be embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Panchatapa Ki Jai. Any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
It's not really a comment or a question. Well, it's a question because I'm from Holland and I'm new here. I would like to a little bit to have your story. You came from, you're visiting here, and it's such a marvelous story about the plane and the things came. I mean, it's practical. It's Krishna who is appearing here in the world, and it's such a nice example. So I was wondering, do you have more of those examples that Krishna really appears to you in life?
I remember one real one. It was when I first started, and it's kind of personal, but anyway, whatever. Feel bad about it even now. So before, as a devotee, I was very disrespectful to women, and when I became a devotee, I wanted to make a point that I would respect them as mother, because that's what I read, and respect and honor them. So then I was doing service in the kitchen in the morning, helping like the breakfast. Jai, breakfast cookers ki jai. So I was helping with the breakfast, and in the same kitchen there's the Didi cooks as well. So the wife of the temple president, she's quite senior, and I was trying to do the service with helping with the breakfast, and at the same time she was like giving me something to do as well. And I heard it, but I didn't do it right away. I had to do this thing first. And then she said to me, just because I'm a woman, you think you don't have to do what I say, or something like that, you know, along those lines. And I got so upset. I go, what? She thought I was doing that. I wasn't doing it. I'm trying to be good, you know. I felt sort of offended, but not. And you know, it really hurt me because I was new, you know. And I didn't know what to do. You know, I kind of just like finished the service, walked out, and I go, Krishna, I was thinking, oh, Krishna, like, I'm actually trying my best here, I don't know why she thought like that. And then I just grabbed those japa beads, and I just started chanting. And the chanting wasn't like hearing the name, it was more like complaining to Krishna. But after like 2 or 3, 4 rounds, just chanting in that like, just trying to be with Krishna, then I felt like someone was like comforting me. Like, don't worry, it's okay, everything's fine. You know, you just keep going. It was a really like comforting feeling when I took shelter of my japa beads at that moment. So, very comfortable. Yeah, Krishna comes and comforts you like a mother, you know. Don't worry, it's okay. Ah, okay, it's okay, you know. So that's one.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.